Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the fascinating Mahabharata character series. Today we will begin with Bhishma. So the Mahabharata itself in the Adi Parva goes elaborately into the history of the various characters, starting right from Brahma down through his various descendants. It comes to the start of the Surya Vamsha, that is Vivaswan, Vaivasvat Manu, who comes to the earth and starts the Surya Vamsha. And then there is one of the descendants of Vaivasvat Manu is Sudyumna, and Sudyumna begins the Chandra Vamsha. And from Chandra Vamsha there are many, many illustrious kings. There is King Puru over there, and then there is King Bharat, and there are many other kings like that. Yayati is a very important king. Just as Manu populates the whole earth, Yayati populates the whole Bharatvarsha, and then his descendants go on for many generations, and then finally there is a king named Prateep, and Prateep has a son named Shantanu, and this Shantanu is the father of Bhishma. So the Mahabharata describes that there was an illustrious king named Mahavishya, and he did a lot of righteous dharmic rule, performed a lot of sacrifices and ascended to heaven. While he was in heaven, there was a magnificent sacrifice happening, and all the illustrious people from the universe had come over there. And there Brahmaji was also there. He is the most respected among all the gods. He's like a Brahmana in one sense among the gods. And of course, he's not official Brahmana. They have their own priests, but he's the advisor. So he was also there, very venerable person. And at that time, Ganga Devi also came over there. Now, when Ganga Devi came there, suddenly there was a gust of wind which blew, and her clothes started flying away because of that. Now, in the heavens, there are apsaras and there is enjoyment there. But the difference between the devatas and the asuras is that the devatas enjoy according to dharma, where the asuras enjoy in defiance of dharma. And in between the heavens and the lower planets is our earthly planet. Here, there is the conflict. You know, we have lower forces which want us to, which drag us towards irreligious enjoyment. And then there are some dharmic inclinations which want us to enjoy within the regulations of dharma. So although in the heavens there is enjoyment, but it has to be under regulation. So Ganga Devi is a chaste and a virtuous lady. And naturally, when her clothes started flying away, all the devatas over there turned their gaze away. So however, Mahavishya was so attracted by her beauty that he just kept staring. And when Brahmaji saw this, Brahmaji said that this sort of behavior does not behoove the resident of the heavens. In the heavens there are apsaras, and they are women who dance and who sing, and people can behold, look at them. But apart from that, there are queens and there are other ladies, and they have to be dealt with in a proper cultured way. They said, Brahmaji told him, because you have acted in a way that is inappropriate for Swarga, you will have to descend to the earth. You will have to fall to the earth. But because you have performed a lot of sacrifices, you will not fall to impiety or sin. You will be born as a virtuous king, and you will be there on earth for one lifetime, and after that you will again ascend upwards. So Mahavishya, because he had virtues and he had pious credits, so he was asked, you can choose whose son would you like to become, in which dynasty would you like to be born. Normally most of us don't have that choice, and that decision of where we are born often shapes in a significant way the probable trajectory of our life. The samskaras that we get from our birth and upbringing, the kind of impressions, the kind of culture that we imbibe, that affects our thinking and living significantly. So he was given that choice, and he thought about the various kings who were ruling on the earth, and he mentioned this King Prateep, who was in the dynasty of the Kurus, and he said, I would like to be born as his son. And Accordingly, Brahma said, Tathastu. So this was not actually a blessing, it was a curse. But it was a curse with certain allowances given within it. And then, while this was all happening, Ganga Devi, she went away from there. And as she was going away, she was still thinking about how Mahavishya was so unashamedly, so strongly attracted to her. So, as she was passing through the heavenly areas, she saw that they were the Ashtavasus. And they were grieving. And he asked them, what has happened? Now, Ganga Devi is, she flows even through the heavens, and she's a venerable lady even in the heavens. And they treated her like a motherly lady, and they told her that actually the sage Vasishta has cursed us, and we have to be born on earth. And we are afraid that if we are born in the womb of any earthly woman, then that will contaminate us, and we will get sinful desires by that contact, and then we will get bound. That's why we are grieving. Not just because we are falling from the higher planets, but also we are falling to the lower planets where there is more chance of contamination by sin. So Ganga Devi asked, why did Vasishta curse you? What did you do? And they described how when they were flying by, the Vasus are among the assistant gods. They are also very important, Ashtavasus, important administrators in the celestial administration. And where they were flying by, they saw Vasishtha Muni with his Kamadhenu cow. And the chief among the Ashtavasus was Dyau. And Dyau's wife told him, this cow is so good. If we had this cow, then we could do whatever we want. The cow will just fulfill our desires. Kamadhenu means whatever desires we have, the cow fulfills. So why don't you take that cow? Now normally, the devatas are very respectful with the sages. But in this particular case, being impelled by his wife's requests and demands, Dev went and recklessly tried to seize the Kamadhenu cow from Vasishta. And because he was the senior most among all the brothers, so his brothers also went with him to help him. And then when Vasishtha Muni saw this brazenness, this insolence of the Ashtavasus, he cursed them. He said that you do not behave in a way befitting of the celestials. You had to fall on the earth. Go to the earth. In earth, there are people with ungodly inclinations who do such things. And when they heard this curse, they normally when they were having their weapons, they were having their pomp, they were having their heavenly opulences, so they were intoxicated a little bit by that. But when they heard the curse, then suddenly their awareness of how powerful the Brahmins are and how dangerous their curses are, it all came back. And they fell at the feet of Vasishta, begging forgiveness. And seeing their sincere repentance, Vasishta said that, once I have spoken the curse, I cannot take it back. But because all of you were not primarily guilty, so the remaining seven of you, you will be born on earth for a very short time, and after that you will come back. Whereas Dev will have to stay for a full lifetime, because it was he who impelled all of you to do this. It was under his instruction that you did all of this. And because he was impelled by his wife, so he, because he was so controlled by women, when he goes to earth, he will not have the pleasure of the association of women. In fact, he will have to live celibate throughout his life. And he said, all of you, go now to the earth and be born on the earth. And this is how the Vasus were told the story to Ganga Devi. And then they begged her, we don't want to be born in any earthly womb. Please, you descend to the earth and you become our mother. And in this way, protect us from contamination. So Ganga Devi started thinking about the request, and then she asked them, who would you like to have as your father? He said, actually there is a King Mahavishya who is going to be born as Shantanu to the King Pratipa. So now Ganga Devi had already seen how Mahavishya was attracted to her. And in this particular case, Ganga Devi continued to be the same, because Ganga is a entity. There is the river and there is the person who is the personified form of Ganga. So Ganga is the same whether she's in the heavens or she's on the earth. But when Mahavishya was born as Shantanu, he did not remember all this. Now, so when something happens in the heavens, there are certain people, like say Narad Muni is there, he goes to heavens and he comes to the earth, he's in the same body. Whereas when there are people like Ganga Devi, there are other people like say Mahavishya, so they are take a new body and they are born and they don't remember clearly what has happened in the past. So Shantanu was born and he grew up and he became a great warrior and illustrious noble king. And as one day he was going by the Ganga river, suddenly he saw a celestially beautiful lady over there, and his heart was captivated by her. And she also returned his glances, and he approached her and he asked her, "Who are you?" And then she told that she did not actually tell who exactly she is, but he was so captivated by her, just by seeing her, he could understand that she is also nobility. She is not any ordinary woman. And then he asked her, "Will you become my queen?" She said, "Yes, but with one condition." He said, "You will not interfere with or question whatever I do." At this particular time, Shantanu Maharaj was so captivated by her beauty and he was so eager to have her as his wife that he did not think about anything else. And he thought, okay, even if a woman is there, what will she ask for? What will she want? Maybe she will want a lot of opulence, a lot of jewelry, a lot of clothes like that. He said, "Yes, whatever, I will not interfere and I will not question. Whatever you want, you can do." And then she went with him and they married, and then they had a son. And soon after the birth of the son, now this son was actually the one of the Vasus. Ganga Devi took that son and she went to the Ganga river and she threw the child into the river. And Shantanu saw this and was horrified. His own child being thrown into the river by a mother. Just his heart was ravaged. But still he didn't know what to do. Either if he spoke, he would lose his wife. If he didn't speak, he would lose his child. What to do? He just couldn't decide. This happened with the first son, second son, third son, fourth son. This happened for seven sons. Shantanu, it happened with the eighth son, Shantanu just couldn't tolerate it. And as Ganga was about to throw the child into the river, he said, "Oh woman, what are you doing? How can you be so hard-hearted as to throw your own son into a river like this?" So at that time, Ganga Devi looked at him, smiled, and she revealed her identity. And she told him the whole story of how these were the Ashtavasus and how she had saved them from prolonged life on the earth by casting them into the river and sending them back to the heavens. And he said that your opposition was also ordained, because this last Vasu was not supposed to live for was supposed to live for a full life. He says, "But you have violated my condition, so I will depart now." So after hearing the story, Shantanu became repentant. He said, "Why did I oppose?" But he said, "If you are from the heavens, then now here also we see Maharaj Shantanu. We may see at one level that, oh, how you are so infatuated by a woman that he just was ready to do anything for her. But he was a king, and as a king he was thinking like a king. And what did he think? Now I have got a son. Now he could have said, oh, if my wife is going at it, at least my son be with me. But he thought, no, if Ganga, she goes to the heavens, then in the heavens there are many great sages, there are great warriors. So he told Ganga Devi that, you know, you take this boy, they named him Devavrata, you take him with you and let him reside in the heavens and let him learn from the heavenly residents, from the sages and the warriors over there, the skills and knowledge that is required for a king." So Maharaj Shantanu was not just a besotted man. Although he was attracted among the Kshatriyas, there may be attraction to a queen, but that may be attraction of a king to a queen or a prince to a princess. But that is also never at the rejection of dharma. They still know their responsibility and they abide by the responsibilities. So Maharaj Shantanu agreed. He himself said, and Ganga Devi agreed. And then the mother and son, they went to the heavens. Now, several years later, one day Maharaj Shantanu was just passing by the Ganga River, and suddenly he saw that the flow of the Ganga River had stopped. This unprecedented event. The Ganga is so forceful that whatever comes within its flow, it far from stopping it, it just blows it away, or somehow it keeps flowing on. Above it, below it, round it, anyway, or through it. Even Kunti Devi, she prays that just as the Ganga's flow moves towards the ocean, Gange Vaugham Udanvati, as the Ganga's flow goes towards the ocean, similarly, let my consciousness flow towards you. Tvai me ananya vishaya. So, that means this example is given because Ganga is so forceful and her flow is so unstoppable that the Ganga's flow stopping is almost unheard of. So amazed, he went upstream to see what had happened. And as he went upstream, he saw at one particular place, there was a handsome, magnificent-bodied, celestial-looking youth with a bow and arrow. And he looked near that prince, and he saw that just by shooting bows arrows with the bow, he had created a dam, and that dam had completely stopped the flow of the Ganga. And as Shantanu beheld this handsome youth, he felt a spontaneous attraction for this youth rising in his heart, and he started thinking, if it had been my son, he would have been of this age. Could this be my son? And as he was thinking like this, suddenly, right in front of his eyes, that son disappeared. And he was frantic with anxiety and mystified. What has happened? He's looking around restlessly, agitated. And suddenly, Ganga Devi appeared over there. And next to her, behind her, was this same youth. And Ganga Devi was smiling, and that youth was folding his hands in front of him. And Ganga Devi told him, this is your son, Devrat. He says, as per your request, I have taken him to heavens, and he has learned from Brihaspati, from Shukracharya, from Markandeya, from Parshuram. He has learned from the best of teachers. Now, Markandeya is a timeless sage, and he knows oceanic wisdom. Brihaspati is the guru, is the priest of the devatas. Shukracharya is the priest of the asuras. So from all these persons, Bhishma has learned, and especially Parshuram. Now, Parshuram was a person who had demolished and destroyed the Kshatriyas 21 times. And he was matchless. And he did not teach any Kshatriyas. But because of the exceptional nature of Bhishma, how he was a celestial who was born on earth, and Ganga Devi had requested, so he had agreed to teach Bhishma. And Bhishma had become excelled as his foremost student. And in this way, he said that in every way, he is competent to become a glorious prince and eventually king in your dynasty. Maharaj Shantanu's heart swelled in joy and pride to hear this. He drew Devrata to his embrace, and he felt as if his life was successful. He took Devrata back, Ganga departed, and he immediately had him installed as Prince Regent. But after him, after Shantanu, Devrata will become the successor. And Devrata proved worthy of the responsibility of a prince and a king in every way. He was virtuous, he was sensitive, he was respectful to the elders, he was caring like a parent, like a father to the citizens. Although he was young, and everybody, the courtiers, the citizens, all started adoring Devrata. And one day, again Maharaj Shantanu had gone to the forest, and while he was in the forest, now, it is significant that Maharaj Shantanu did not, after Ganga departed, he had been so captivated by Ganga, but he did not marry again. And once when he was just going to the forest, he suddenly found himself captivated by an extraordinary fragrance. And he just went, drew irresistibly in the direction of that fragrance. And finally he reached there, he found that fragrance came from a Matsya princess. Now, Matsya refers to the dynasty. There are many many meanings of the word Matsya, but one is Matsya is connected with fish. So the fisher people are also called as the Matsyas. And she was a fisherwoman, and her name was Satyavati. And she had a blessing from Vyasadev, from Parashar Muni, because of which her body was extraordinarily fragrant. And Shantanu went to her, and when he saw her, he saw that she was in a particular community. Now earlier when he had met Ganga, he saw that Ganga was all alone and there was no one. That's why he approached Ganga directly. And he went to Satyavati, and he saw Satyavati, she saw this belonging to community, then he went directly to the to her father, to the head of the community. She was the princess in that community, and her father was the head, the king. And he told her, I would like to marry Satyavati. Now, for the Matsyas, this was a great honor for a fisher community to marry the king of the Kuru dynasty. It was a great honor. But the Matsya king was a little calculative. And he said that it was always my hope and my dream that my daughter's son will eventually become the king in whichever family he marries. In whichever family she marries, in that family, because I am a king, my daughter is a princess, so her son should eventually become the king. So if you are going to marry her, then her son should become the king. And Maharaj Shantanu heard this. His face and his heart both fell. He had already promised, he had already officially announced Devrata would be the king after him. How could he go back on their word? And how could he deprive Devrata for just the sake of his own desire? His head drooping, he left from there dejected. Now, Devrata was such a diligent son and prince that he observed that his father was looking dejected. And seeing that his father was not ready to tell the cause, he inquired from the ministers. And the ministers told him that his father was in a cheerful mood, but after he went to the Matsya area and met with the Matsya ruler or Matsya head over there, after that he's been gloomy. So he went and talked with the Matsya head, and he came to know the whole story, what had happened. And his demand that her son should become the king. So Bhishma said, at that time it was Devrata, he said, if that is your desire, he said, immediately I will not become the king. I'll forsake the regency and I'll ensure that your son will become, that her son will become the king. So Satyavati's father said, you may make a promise like this, but what about your descendants? You are the older son, so your sons will claim to be the king after, to become the king after you. So here, on hearing this, Devrata said, now I take a vow before you that I will never marry. I will never marry. And in this way, I will always act as the protector of the ruling king and whatever kings come after that. I will always act as their protector and as their servant of the rulers at Hastinapur. So when Devrata spoke this, at that time flowers fell from the sky. And from the sky was heard the words Bhishma, Bhishma, Bhishma. Bhishma means very, very heavy, very grave, very difficult, very glorious. The word has multiple connotations of meaning, and all those are implied. Why was it so glorious? Actually, being a renunciate, being a celibate is not unusual in Vedic culture. There are many sages who would live as renunciates, would renounce the world. Some of the sages also had their, they were also householders. Some of them were renunciates. So in the Vedic culture, we'll see there are these two broad categories of people. There are the Kshatriyas and there are the renounced sages. So both are glorious in their own ways. And both exemplify the path of Dharma in two different ways. The sages exemplify the path of Dharma through renunciation, and the kings exemplify the path of Dharma through engagement in the world, engagement to establish dharma and to live according to dharma in their own lives. So both are virtuous. Now when one is engaged in the world, one enjoys the world, but within dharmic, the precincts of dharma, and provide a service to the community, service to society, service to humanity at large. Those who are renounced, they renounce the world and they focus on transcendence. They set an example of transcendence, and that's how they serve others also. So the underlying ethos is the ethos of service. So in the Vedic culture, there are these two paths. There is a gradual path for spiritual progress, that's called Pravritti Marga. There's a rapid path for spiritual progress, there's a Nivritti Marga. The path of engagement, the path of renunciation. Both lead to the transcendence. Now of course, the Nivritti Marga, the best of the Nivritti Marga is Bhakti Marga, and we will discuss that later. But essentially there are both these paths. But Bhishma's glory is that he stayed as a Kshatriya, he lived in palaces, he lived amidst royal opulence. And royal opulence means not just gold and jewels, but there were his brothers, his cousins, nephews and the descendants. They all had their queens, their princesses, and he lived amidst them, but he did not get tempted. He did not deviate from his principles. So to live as a renunciate in the renounced order is glorious. To live as a righteous householder, as a Kshatriya, according to Dharma, that is also in its own way glorious. But what Bhishma did was to live as a Kshatriya, but to live like a renunciate. This was extraordinary. Very, very difficult. To live amidst temptation and to never fall prey to temptation is extremely difficult. And that is why even the Devatas, they were amazed. There were many great sages who had taken the vows of celibacy. But the Devatas did not say Bhishma, Bhishma at that time. They said it for Devrata because he had taken this vow to live in such an extraordinary way. And his vow he took not just for, there are people who may renounce the world for the sake of spiritual advancement. Now he took his vow just for the sake of service to his father. And that too he could have said, my father, he didn't take care of me. It was my mother who took care of me. My father, what has he done for me? But no, he's a duty-bound person. And he said, whatever is my father's desire, I'll fulfill this. Now when Maharaj Shantanu heard this, you know, his heart was torn between conflicting emotions. Joy, not just that now he would have Satyavati. Joy also at how glorious a son he had, who was ready to sacrifice everything. At the same time, grief that his son would be bereaved. His son would not get a kingdom, and his son would not marry and have the pleasures of life. And then, being very pleased with him, he gave him a blessing. Maharaj Shantanu himself was also virtuous. He had potency. So he gave him a blessing of Ichchamrityu. He said, you can live for as long as you want, and whenever you desire, you will die. Till then, you will be able to live. Now we may wonder, how is it that Maharaj Shantanu got attracted like this? First to Ganga, and then again to Satyavati. The point here is that the way the Mahabharata especially talks not about necessarily transcendentalists. The male-female attraction is always there in this world, and it has, if it is to be, it cannot be rejected entirely. It has to be regulated according to the principles of Dharma. So all this was at the highest level. It is the arrangement of the Lord by which various characters who would play different distinctive roles in the unfoldment of his pastimes, they would assume those particular roles. That is at the highest level, and at an intermediate level of the level of material religiosity, they were acting according to Kshatriya principles. So Kshatriyas, they are expected to have queens, and for Maharaj Shantanu to want another queen, that was not wrong. It was not he who asked Bhishma to do this, and Bhishma had already taken that vow. Once he has taken that vow and the Devatas have also sanctified it by showering flowers and by uttering the word Bhishma, he could not go back against it. So he accepted the sacrifice of his son and he blessed him profusely. So such is the illustrious characteristic of Bhishma, that he, so learned, so virtuous and so self-sacrificing. And it was he who would play the role of the parent for the Pandavas. And to some extent, even for the Kauravas, but especially for the Pandavas, because Pandu departed when the Pandavas were quite young. And how he played that role, and how he, while acting as a protector of the Kuru kings, had to eventually, due to fatal complication, take part in the fratricidal war. We will discuss in our future class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.